Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. We left off at the end of last Perek as witnesses to an argument between the people of Yehuda and the people of Yisrael as to whose share in David's kingdom was greater. Our Perek begins by telling us that present at that debate was an evil man, an ish bli'al, which is an expression that is a contraction of the phrase bli ol malchut shamayim, someone who had shrugged off the burden of the kingdom of heaven, who, as Malbim explains, was the type of person who constantly instigated arguments. His name was Sheva ben Bichri, of the tribe of Binyamin, and at the sight of the conflict between Yehuda and Israel, he sounded the shofar and declared, Ein lanu chelek b'David, velo nachala lanu b'ven Yishai, ish le'ohalav Yisrael. We have no portion in David, and no share in the son of Yishai. Back to your tents, men of Israel. And all the people of Israel deserted David to follow Sheva ben Bichri. But the men of Yehuda clung to their king from the Yarden to Yerushalayim. Let's remember, the argument was taking place just after David had crossed the Yarden to return to Yerushalayim, and what was meant to be a triumphant return with a massive parade was now decimated. When David returned to his palace in Yerushalayim, he took the 10 concubines that he had left to guard the palace and placed them in a guarded house, and he sustained them but did not come to them, and they remained living widows to the end of their days. It's a little bit unclear why this passage is placed here between the outbreak of the rebellion and David's response to it. Mishpitzot Zahav suggests that it demonstrates David's determination not to repeat his past mistake. Before attending to the military preparations, he takes steps to secure his household. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayomer HaMelech El Amasa, Hazekli et Ish Yehuda Shloshet Yamim, Ve'ata Po Amod. David instructed Amasa, whom we remember he had appointed as his general in place of Yoav, in his anger at Yoav for having killed Avshalom, to go and issue a rallying cry among the men of Yehuda, and to return and stand before David in 3 days. Amasa left to rally the people of Yehuda, but he delayed and did not return at the designated time. David then said to Avishai, Now Sheva ben Bichri will do more harm to us than Avshalom. Take the soldiers of your master and pursue him, lest he reach one of the fortified cities and conceal himself from us. And the men of Yoav and the Kreti and the Pleti, that was again David's elite unit of archers and slingers, and all the warriors followed Avishai, and they left Yerushalayim in pursuit of Sheva ben Bichri. They reached the great boulder that stood in Giv'on, which was a landmark for them, and there was Amasa coming before them. Yoav was outfitted in his military uniform, and he carried a sword strapped across his hips in its sheath, and as he leaned forward, the sword slipped out. Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Vayomer Yoav la'amasa, Hashalom ata achi, Vatochez yad yemin Yoav, Bizkan Amasa linshoklo. Yoav greeted Amasa, Are you well, my brother? And he grabbed Amasa's beard with his right hand as if to kiss him in greeting. Amasa did not notice the sword in Yoav's hand, and he struck him a fatal blow, so that his innards spilled to the ground. He did not need to strike twice, and Yoav and Avishai, his brother, pursued Sheva ben Bichri. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, 49a, raises the question of why Yoav killed Amasa. Yoav declared that Amasa was a Moreid b'Malchut, one who had rebelled against the king and is deserving of death. At the same time, there's definitely room to suggest that Yoav had been angered by his appointment, especially since he had gone to such lengths throughout his career to prove his own unwavering loyalty to David. He had a long history of stellar military success, while Amasa was completely unproven. He never speaks. We never heard him say a word. Even when he's informed that he'll be the new general, he offers no words of acceptance or of gratitude. The text itself is a little bit ambiguous. Amasa, in fact, had not returned to David at the designated time. And there is the question of how he came to be in Giv'on, in the territory of Binyamin, rather than in Yehuda, to where he had been sent by David. We also note that David did not call Yoav to task for having killed Amasa, nor does he mourn him with an elegy as he did for Avner ben Ner, although this may be attributed to the ongoing concern of Sheva ben Bichri. On the other hand, in Sefer Melachim, when Shlomo follows David's last words of instruction to him before his death, Shlomo does hold Yoav accountable for both deaths. The Gemara goes on to incriminate Yoav, but ultimately states that the negative view of Yoav conflicts with the teaching that we learned in Perek Chet, that there was a symbiotic relationship between David and Yoav. Each needed the other in order to succeed. The character of Yoav remains somewhat elusive. The fact that he persisted in fighting this battle on David's behalf, even after having been demoted, does certainly speak to his extraordinary loyalty to David. While Yoav and Avishai continued in their pursuit of Sheva ben Bichri, one of Yoav's soldiers was stationed over the body of Amasa so that the troops shouldn't stop short at the site as they had when they encountered the body of Asael so many years ago. He rallied them with the cry in verse 11, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Mi asher chafetz bi Yoav, umi asher le David, acharei Yoav, whoever favors Yoav and whoever is for David, after Yoav. And Amasa lay wallowing in blood in the middle of the path. And when the soldier saw that the troops were coming to a halt at the site, despite his words of encouragement to move on, he moved the body into the field and threw a garment over it. And the men followed Yoav in his pursuit of Sheva ben Bichri. We note that command of the army has undergone a not-so-subtle shift. David had given instructions to Avishai, but Yoav went along unobtrusively at first, and then apparently just took charge. His brother seems to have made way for him, acknowledging his military superiority. Meanwhile, Sheva ben Bichri had been covering a lot of territory. Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14, Vaya'avor b'chol shivtei Yisrael, avela uveit ma'acha, b'chol ha'beirim, vayikahalu vayavu af acharav. He passed through all the tribes of Israel, to avel beit ma'acha and all the beirim, and people gathered and followed him. Avel beit ma'acha was the northern border of the Israelite kingdom. So today, it's actually the site of a national park, and there is an ongoing archaeological dig at the site, which has yielded pottery inscribed in Hebrew dating to the time of David and Shlomo. B'chol ha-beirim is a little bit less simple to translate. Rashi himself says, Lo yadati mahu, I don't know what this means, which is an incredible tribute to Rashi's own humility. Radak suggests that it means places adjacent to wells throughout the territory of Binyamin. People tended to gather around the wells. So Sheva ben Bichri, as he traveled from place to place, stopped by the wells in order to garner supporters until he reached Avel Beit Ma'acha and took refuge there as it was a walled city. The troops who were with Yoav came and besieged the city. They built a mound and a ramp from which they attacked the city, and all the soldiers of Yoav bombarded the city to destroy the wall. A wise woman from the city called out to the troops, Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16. Vayetikra isha chachama min ha'ir, Shim'u, Shim'u, Imruna el Yoav krav ad hina va'adabra ilecha. Listen, listen, tell Yoav to approach that I might speak with him. Yoav approached, and she asked, Ha'ata Yoav? Are you Yoav? And he responded, Ani, I am. She said to him, Listen to the words of your maidservant. And he said, Shomea Anochi, I'm listening. And she offers words of reproof. Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18. Vatomer Lemor, Daber Yidabru Barishona. Lemor sha'ol yisha'alu be'avel, v'chein heitamu. You ought to have spoken first to the people of Avel to seek peace, rather than immediately attacking the city. Had you only asked, the people of this city would have responded in peace. Anochi shlumei emunei Yisrael, ata mevakesh lahamit ir ve'em b'Yisrael, lama tivalana chalat Hashem. I am among the dwellers of the city, at peace and loyal to the king and faithful to Hashem. And you are prepared to destroy a mother city of Israel. Why would you destroy Hashem's portion? Based on the phrase, Anochi Shlumei Emunei Yisrael, Chazal identify the woman as Serach Bat Asher, the granddaughter of Yaakov Avinu, who sang to him the news that Yaakov was still alive after he revealed himself to his brothers in Mitzrayim, so that he would hear the news in a way that wouldn't shock him. and who revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu the exact location of Yosef's body in Mitzrayim so that his bones could be brought to Eretz Yisrael for burial as he had requested. And if you're thinking that, wow, she must not be a young woman at all, this woman has lived quite a long time, you're quite right. In reward for these acts that she had performed, Sarah had been granted exceptionally long life, and Chazal number her among those few individuals who entered Gan Eden alive. In Pasuk Chaf, Vaya'an Yoav, Vayomer, Chalila, Chalila li im avala v'im ashchit. Verse 20, Yoav protested, not so. Heaven forbid that I should destroy or ruin. But there is a man from Har Ephraim, Sheva ben Bichri is his name, and he has raised his hand in rebellion against David HaMelech, and he has sought refuge in the city. Hand him over, and I will withdraw from the city. Vatomer ha'isha el Yoav, Hinei rosho mushlach elecha be'ad ha'choma. Behold, his head will be thrown to you over the wall. The woman, in her wisdom, came to the people of the city. The text does not record what she said, but Rashi cites the Midrash in the Tosefta that elucidates the arguments that the Isha Chachama brought to the people of her city. She said to them, since both he will be killed and the people of the city will doubtlessly be killed if we protect him, hand him over to Yoav. If he were able to be saved, for example, if he were inside and you were on the outside and you were fighting Yoav, but Sheva ben Bichri would still have a chance to escape, then we have a rule that it is prohibited to let one person be killed in order to save another. But now that he is certainly going to be killed, along with you, because the walls have already been breached and there is no possibility of escape, then it is better that he alone should die, and you, the people of the city, should not die along with him. Rabbi Shimon said, this is what she said to them. Anyone who has rebelled against the kingdom of the house of David is punishable by death. In other words, there's no doubt that he is deserving of death. You would not be handing over an innocent man. Pasuk Chav Bet, verse 22, Vatavo ha'isha el kol ha'am b'chochmata, v'yichritu et rosh Sheva ben Bichri, v'yashlichu el Yoav, v'yitka b'shofar, v'yafutzu me'al ha'ir ish le'ohalav, v'yoav shav Yerushalayim el ha'melech. They cut off the head of Sheva ben Bichri and threw it over the wall to Yoav, and he blew the shofar, signifying the end of the battle, and the people dispersed to their homes, and Yoav returned to Yerushalayim, to the king. So significantly now, Yoav doesn't just return to Yerushalayim, but he returns also to the king, who has had time now to calm down, and Yoav is now reinstated as general of the army. It's interesting to note that this is not the first time we've seen Yoav blow a shofar to cut a battle short, to end a battle while the soldiers were still out in the field fighting, in the interest of saving lives in Israel. As he says, Chalila, Chalila li. I'm not interested in just destruction. Ava'im avalavi'im ashchit. That's not my goal. It's just wanton destruction. Once the purpose has been achieved, and as soon as the purpose has been achieved, very quickly as possible, Yoav stops the fighting, because his interest really is in saving lives and just assuring the security of Malchut Beit David. So we're told that Yoav was reinstated as general of the army, and Benaya ben Yehoyada was appointed over the Kreti and the Pleti. And having issued this update as to the state of David's cabinet, the text goes on to include other updates. Adoram was appointed as tax collector, Yehoshaphat ben Achilud as Mazkir, which we had translated earlier, either as the one who established the order of cases to be brought before the king, or the one responsible for the Sefer HaZichronot, the king's chronicles. Shva was the scribe, and Tzadok and Eviatar served as Kohanim, while Ira HaYairi served as Kohen to David, which Radak explains means a personal advisor. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.